Call this meeting to order. Welcome to Vista Norte Public Charter School. And it is Tuesday, June 2nd at 12 o'clock. Our meeting logistics on March 17, 2020. Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The Executive Order allows state bodies governed by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meetings telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to V. Mendoza at vistanortecharter.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the public meeting. We're going to go over just a few of our norms. Number one, please place your phone on mute until such time you are presenting or asking to speak. And number two, when addressing the board, please announce your full name so that they can take notes and be sure to speak clearly. Number three, please do not place your phone on hold. If you need to leave the call, please hang up and then dial back into the teleconference. Right now, we're going to call the meeting to order. We'll record attendance and guests. We're going to call the board members first. Carol Stanford, present. Claudette Beck,
present.
Mike Malloy,
present.
John Dorch,
present.
And Barbara Willebrand,
present.
All right, and now we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and we're going to ask everybody to just put their phone on mute, and we'll ask Barbara Willebrand to lead us in it, and we'll just let her talk so we're not all talking at the same time. Okay?
Good plan.
Barbara, can you do that? All right, but we have a little glitch.
My phone is on mute. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay, Barbara, would you do it, please?
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was lovely.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So now we're going to do staff introductions. We're going to start with corporate officers. Mr. Brown, you're first.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing corporate officers.
I was on mute. Yes.
You guys follow orders so well. All right.
Jerry Vincent. Again, for those who do not have their phone on mute, we just heard the trumpet. But my name is Jerry Vincent, corporate CFO secretary.
All right. And Jeff, you're good, right? All right.
Yeah.
So let's go to school staff.
Janet Wilson, area superintendent.
Joe Herrera,
principal.
Joe Herrera, principal.
Jeff Martineau, vice president, charter relations.
Raquel, I don't think they heard your name.
Okay, Raquel Velasco, principal.
Hi, Raquel. All right.
Hi.
So now we.
Morning.
Okay, school legal counsel.
Yep, Bill Thompson, attorney for the school.
Okay, anybody else? Advisors who are supporting the agenda items are presenting.
Kelly Mayor, senior director of finance with the LA.
Hi, this is Nita. I'm the chief financial officer with LLAC.
Hello, this is Gloria Wall, senior VP of finance for LLAC.
All righty, that's great. Anybody else?
Director of LCAP and accountability.
Hi,
this is Michelle. Hi, this is Michelle Lopez, counsel LLAC.
Okay, so now, any other staff, anybody who has not introduced herself, this is your chance.
Yes, this is Darla Palfreyman with the law offices of Bill J. Thompson.
Hi, Darla. All right, we got through that. So So now we're going to go to E, approve agenda for the June 2nd, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And has everybody read that? Is there any discussion, questions? Then we're going to go for a vote. And we'll start with Carol Stanford. Aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John George. John, unmute.
Aye.
Okay, all right. So we have five ayes. All board members voted for it, so the motion is passed. So we're now on F, approved minutes of the April 21st, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And has everybody read that? Any discussions or questions? Can I have a motion?
Excuse me. I'm sorry to interfere. But did we get a motion?
No, we didn't. I got thrown off.
Okay.
Okay. So we have to go back to E. I need a motion to pass E.
This is
I'm
John George. I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Well, we'll bring a second.
All right. So John will say that you made the motion. We'll say that Barbara seconded. Let's vote again. Okay. We got to do this properly. I'm so sorry.
No worries.
Carol Stanford. Aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John George.
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand.
Aye.
All right, so that's done. Now we're on F, approved minutes of the April 21st, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And again, we ask for questions or discussion, and I need a motion and a second. And I believe let's do it again just to make sure we do it right.
Michael Willebrand makes the motion.
Okay, Mike moves it. And Barbara Willebrand seconds it. So now we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So we have five ayes, so F is passed. So now we're in consent agenda. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. These are 1 through 4. The first one is to approve the revised mathematic placement policy. The second, approve the 2020-21 student parent handbook. 3 would be to approve the revised suspension and expulsion policy. And 4, to accept the uniform complaint report for the 2019-2020 school year. And that we have no reports that we have received. So I need a motion to approve A, 1 through 4, unless someone wants one taken off.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Barbara makes the motion, and Claudette seconds it. Is that what I got?
Yep, there you go.
That's good.
Yes.
All right. So we'll vote on that. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Willebrand?
Aye.
So we have 5 ayes from all board members on 2A, 1 through 4 is passed. Public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter's jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in a case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comment will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, and provide directions to staff or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone from the public or anyone who would like to be heard at this moment?
No one from the public has come forth.
Okay, thank you. So now we're on 4, school reports and information. Area superintendent update is Janet Wilson.
Good afternoon, executives and board of directors. Thank you for this opportunity to give you an update on what is happening during these very tumultuous times. I would like to take this time to update the board and seek input on our plans for transitioning back to on-site learning in the summer. Specific transition dates are dependent upon site need and keeping our eye on COVID. As we know, Governor Newsom has begun to open businesses through a phased approach. State Superintendent Thurmond's office has given guidance on the safe return to physical learning in California schools. In that guidance, he has repeatedly left the decision to transition back to the on-site learning up to the LEAs, of which we are one. He has also expressed that some year-round schools will be returning in July. We know our schools are different than traditional classrooms and function as independent study schools, which is a form of distance learning. Our decision to provide an on-site option is with this in mind. We recognize the power and strength of relationships, staff, and student connection, and in-person interactions. We also recognize and affirm that some families may not feel comfortable sending their students back to school. We also know that our students are not progressing as well as they used to during normal operations. An example of this would be we usually have in Vista Norte about 90% utilization, and in LP10 we reach 63%, which is surprisingly high given the conditions we are in. So we must act to ensure the safety and success of all students. It is for these reasons that we have decided to offer multiple options of learning for our families. We will offer a flexible distance learning program, which includes both on-site, in-person modified appointments, as well as virtual learning sessions. Families will be able to choose between full virtual curriculum and appointments or an on-site modified physical packet and appointments. As always, our school strives to personalize each student's education to meet their specific needs and academic path. Although there will be various methods of learning offered to our students to accommodate each individual need, all students are still expected to make academic progress, whether virtually or in person. Staff and student safety are extremely important to us. We continue to monitor daily guidelines from federal, state, and local public health agencies, as well as receive guidance from the San Bernardino and Riverside counties. We want everyone, staff and students alike, to feel comfortable about returning to the school site. Safety modifications that will take place or are in the process of taking place to ensure the safety of our students and staff are as follows. HVAC filters have been replaced and will be replaced on a quarterly basis. Student physical site appointments will be scheduled to limit the number of people in the building. Furniture is being rearranged to ensure 6 feet of social distancing. Clear dividers will be installed between desks as needed as an additional safety measure. Hand sanitizing station and sanitizing products such as Clorox wipes will be provided. One-way traffic flows have been created to reduce contact with others. Face masks covering both the mouth and nose will be required for anyone entering the school and will be provided if needed and as required for staff. And anyone entering the school will have their temperature read with a touch-free scanner before entering. All sites will be sanitized daily. Staff will be trained on sanitation protocols and receive COVID-19 training. In addition, measures that have been taken to ensure the continued success of virtual learning are 500 laptops have been ordered, some of which have been received, but we are still expecting more any day now to accommodate student needs. 300 hotspots have been purchased. As mentioned in previous updates, all curriculum has been digitized so students can continue their work virtually, and all staff have been trained on digital platforms to enhance learning. A number of new reflection electives have been created to help students process the trauma and emotion of the COVID-19 pandemic. We are extremely proud of the work and dedication of the staff and students during this difficult time. It has been a trying time, but we persevered. Teamwork always comes through. We are so thankful to the LLAC for their guidance and support for preparing and sustaining school operations during this pandemic. I personally am so thankful to my principals and our staff. Their collaboration and updates have been extremely helpful. We are proud of the administrative teams led by the principals on every campus that have been diligently preparing for sites for transitioning back to on-site learning. Each site has specific needs and will need to modify plans to meet those needs and continue to adjust as information is presented. As you know, information changes each day, and they have all done a phenomenal job of keeping their staff and families informed and prepared. We know this is just the first stage of transitioning and that plans are fluid and subject to change based on the county health updates. But we also know and feel confident that we are prepared to meet the needs of our students in any environment. I also want to add that given the turmoil going on in the country right now, that we have had an all-hands-on-deck approach this week to reach out to every staff member and every student to check on their physical and emotional well-being. At this time, I would like to ask the board for any input or questions they may have on our transition plans.
First, before we do that, someone look and see if your phones are on mute, everybody but Janet and me, unless you're going to ask a question, because somebody's rearranging papers. Janet, will the kids have to wear masks the entire time they're inside the building?
That is my understanding, yes, because we just need to ensure their safety. So at this point, the direction is yes.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot you guys are doing. I'm impressed, but it's a lot. Anybody else have a comment? You can unmute. Okay, then B, Janet, you're going to redo a report on mathematics placement results.
Okay. The California Mathematics Placement Act of 2015 required our board to adopt a fair, objective, and transparent mathematics placement policy before the beginning of the 2016 school year. Our policy was first adopted in Vista Norte in 2018 when we opened. And as you saw in today's consent agenda, was revised to include some minor technical revisions. The policy addresses a student entering ninth grade and includes a number of required elements to ensure equity in student achievement, including the following. Considers multiple objective academic measures. Includes at least one placement checkpoint within the first month of the school year to ensure accurate placement and to permit reevaluation of individual student progress. It requires an annual examination of pupil placement data to ensure that students are not held back in a disproportionate manner on the basis of their race, ethnicity, gender, or socioeconomic background. It requires an annual report be provided to the governing board. It offers clear and timely recourse for each pupil and his or her parent or legal guardian who questions the student's placement and requires the policy to be posted on each school's website. For this year's annual report, we are pleased to report that this year that all ninth grade students progressed in their mathematics courses and none were held back. We will continue to evaluate this data and report to the board next year pursuant to the board policy. Thank you. Any questions?
I'm on mute. Jerry, we're now on finance update.
Okay, thank you. If there were no questions on the mathematics placement results, I will address our finance update. It's pretty narrow and swift. We have our Form 990 still being processed. Due to COVID, of course, we had our extension through July 15. We will meet that extension, and the board will be provided with a copy of the Form 990 prior to being sent to the IRS. Also, we are asking that we're notifying the board that in alignment with our triple P, our payroll protection program allocation, which was received from Hanmi Bank in the amount of $934,787. We are informing the bank that a condition would be that we have with Hanmi the ability to do ACH, which is the automatic debits and deposits. So we're informing you that we will be moving forward with the ACH function of the Hanmi Bank account as it relates to PPP and all of the other transactions. Later in our meeting today on the agenda, there will be a discussion and an action item on the PPP program loan forgiveness. We'll address that then. So if we have no questions, we can move forward. So that's great. We got that money because we were waiting.
Yes,
ma'am. All right. $934,787.
All right. That's wonderful. Anybody else have any questions? You can unmute. Okay, we're going to move to five action items. The board will be asked to confirm its acknowledgement that Carol Stanford, Claudette Beck, Michael Malloy, John George, and Barbara Willebrand have been reappointed as members of the Board of Directors by Educational Advancement Corporation, the sole member of Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc. for the term July 1st, 2020 to July 30th, 2021. And Jerry, would you like to say something about that?
Other than this item is recommending that the board members confirm their acknowledgement of EAC's action.
Okay. All right. So any discussion or questions from anybody? Can I have a motion? Okay, well, I didn't get who motioned.
Let John have.
John, you motioned, and then Mike, you seconded, right?
Okay, that's fine.
That's good. All right, so now we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
John George?
George?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye. So the engineer called Freddie?
Somebody needs to mute. I don't know who Freddie is.
Excuse
me, Carol. Carol?
Yes.
I just want to ask, and on your behalf, if I may, that there are transactions taking place on the phone with people regarding engineers calling, et cetera. So we ask that you please mute your phone so that only those presenting are speaking. Please mute your phone. Thank you.
All right. So we have a motion, and it's passed, right? It's so confusing right now. We did pass that, right? It was motion.
We're good on that. Yes, we're good on that one, Carol.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to B. The board is asked to approve temporary changes to the charter hardship waiver policy for students who are over credit deficient and at risk for not graduating due to circumstances related to COVID-19. The temporary changes to the charter hardship waiver policy will be applied to seniors in the class of 2020, including those seniors in the summer of 2020. Janet Wilson, would you like to talk about that?
Well, basically what you said, Madam President, was due to the challenges related to COVID-19 pandemic affecting some of our students, school staff have identified the need for temporary changes to the charter hardship waiver policies, specifically for students who are over age and credit deficient and at risk for not graduating because they're aging out. This means that for seniors in the class of 2020, this is inclusive of summer of 2020 graduates, the total number of credits required to graduate high school may be reduced from 230 credits to 130 credits as determined on a case-by-case basis. And truthfully, we would expect that to be pretty much a rare occurrence. So so, but we are recommending and hoping that the board will approve the temporary changes to the charter hardship waiver policy so that our students who are aging out and won't have an opportunity to come back once they age out will be able to graduate. And again, it is very, very likely that we won't use it, and only in rare circumstances.
Really a drastic reduction of credits. Wow. Anybody else has a comment on that?
Madam President, it doesn't necessarily mean it would be 130. That would be the worst case scenario. We may have students, as we already have, that have 170, 180, but they're not going to hit that 230 credits before the end of the summer when they age out.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have another question about that one? Can I get a motion and a second?
Barbara
Willebrand motions. Okay, Barbara Willebrand
motions and a second, please. Claudette Beck, I'll second that.
Okay, so Barbara motioned and Claudette seconded. We'll vote it. We'll vote Carol Sanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it, all five have voted aye, and B has passed. C, the board will be asked to reauthorize approved bank account signers to conduct necessary banking matters. This is Jerry Vincent.
Hello, board. I'm asking for you to approve the removal of Dr. Pat Hill from our signers list. We will not be adding anyone to replace him as we have adequate number of signers.
Okay, that sounds good. Any questions, anybody? Can I have a motion and a second?
Mike Malloy will make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
Okay, so Mike moved and Barbara seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Sanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dort?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So we all have five ayes and C has passed. D, the board will be asked to reauthorize the officers of the corporation to award discretionary incentives to employees at various sundry times. And Janet Wilson, that's you.
As stated, the incentives are discretionary and will be determined based on the current budgetary and financials of the school.
Okay. Any questions about that? All right. I need a motion and a second for D.
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
Okay, so Claudette moved, Barbara seconded, and we'll vote Carol Sanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So that has passed. E, the board will be asked to approve the request for loan forgiveness of the Small Business Association Payroll Protection Plan. Jerry.
Yes, board, as referenced earlier in the finance update, the funds were received. There is a process for which forgiveness is requested, and I would ask that I defer to Gita, our CFO on the LLAC side, and have her to address any questions you may have about forgiveness. It's a complicated process, and she's the expert on that. So, Gita.
Hi, good morning. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. So, there is a document in your packet, pages on page, let's see. Sorry, I don't have the page number. 97. Page 97 is the Hommy Bank PPP forgiveness checklist. So as Jerry mentioned, the school received on May 7th, 2020, the loan amount of $934,787. There are some specific guidelines and some guidance through SBA Small Business Administration that the bank is following, that those checklist guidelines are noted on that page 97 of your packet. And we are working through the documents to pull together and ensure that the school, follows the guidelines requested. But as you know, the guidelines constantly change. So we are following the new guidance if there's anything new comes out to ensure that the school is in compliance. So we did a full-on cash analysis for 3 years based on the financial position of the school and the current cash on hand, and we did a projected cash for the next 3 years. So what was identified for Vista Norfolk during the cash analysis was that if the school does not keep or, request for forgiveness for the funds, as early as July of this year, this upcoming fiscal year, July of 2020, the school needs to request for loan and borrow close to $450,000. And then the year after, the same. They have to borrow in July a little bit over $500,000, and thereafter they will be short. The minimum estimated expenses on a monthly basis is estimated at $452,500, and the school currently does not have any line of credit. The only promissory note that was in place previously was with LLAC. So the school will be applying for a line of credit through the bank. But without the PPP loan, the school will need to borrow this year, given the deferrals in the month of June and potential deferrals in April, May, and June of upcoming fiscal year, as well as next fiscal year. So the cash is pretty tight. The school will not survive without the PPP funds. So we are recommending to the management and the corporate officers and the school governance to request for forgiveness on the PPP funds that were received on May 7th, 2020. Currently, the guidelines, if you see on page 97, states that the starting week 7 after the funding, the borrower is required to reach out to Hanmi Bank to submit forgiveness documents. So we're currently, as I mentioned, working on the documents to provide to the bank. So there's an action item on the board agenda to for the board to get approval for forgiveness.
Thank you for doing all that hard work. I'm really happy we got that. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Can we get a motion and a second?
John,
is John moved? And was that Claudette the second?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
This is a good thing we're voting for here. So for E, Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, but that is passed, all with five ayes, and we're still in business. Thank you. F, the board will be asked to approve the correction of a typographical error on the June 30th, 2019 annual audit report of the school. And Janet, that's you. And that's on page 98, if anybody wants to look at it.
The correction is a typographical error, and I am going to defer to Gita, our CFO from LLAC, to provide information on this correction.
Thank you, Janet. So if the board can refer to pages 98 to 99, page 99 shows the schedule of average daily attendance that was reflected in our in the school's audited statement of June 30th, 2019. There was a very minor typographical error on that page, which instead of having it listed as a non-classroom base, it stated classroom based. So that was corrected that none was added, and the report was resubmitted to the state controller's office, and that was revised, which is a page, which is actually on page 24 of the audited statement. So it wasn't anything significant, but we just wanted to let the board know that correction was made, and it was filed with the state controller's office. Thank you.
Okay, any questions? Can I get a motion?
Mike Malone, make the motion.
Mike, motion, and Barbara Willebrand second. So we'll vote. Carol Sanford, aye. Claudette Jett?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So all five ayes, and it's passed. So we're on G. The board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula, LCFF, which drives the primary source of revenue for the charter schools. And this is Jerry Vincent.
Yes, for the LCFF is just that. It's the primary funding source for the school revenue. And if there are any questions, I defer to Claudio. As if the board has questions about the LCFF.
Thank you, Jerry. I would like to add to the board that the amounts of the LCFF funding formula that we'll provide to the school next year, the total revenue determined by the funding formula will be $4,821,707. This total includes base funding that depends exclusively on ADA by grade span. That's going to be $3,600,115, which is 75% of the total LCFF funding. And a second portion from supplemental and concentration funding, and it's going to be in the amount of $1,221,592, or 25% of the total LCFF funding. This amount is going to be determined by the number of pupils the school serves that are identified as low income, foster children, English learners, or homeless students.
All right. Any questions from anybody?
Can I get a motion?
Wait, go ahead. Can I have a question? Okay, Barbara.
Yes, is this a reduction from last year? Or at what percent? Or are we right where we are?
We're going to talk about that during the budget. But there was a reduction on the funding rate, and also the schools have had changes on the ADA. So overall, there is a reduction on the LCFF funding overall. But we will have more details on the budget section.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, good. So can I have a motion and a second now? Anybody?
Barbara Willebrand, motion.
Okay, Barbara Willebrand, motion. Have a second, please.
Mike Malloy, second.
Okay, and then Mike Malloy, second. So we'll vote. Carol Sanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So there are five ayes for G. We're now on H. The board will be asked to approve the educational protection account spending determinations. Jerry Benson.
Yes, board. The EPA is a component of the LCFF funding, and those dollars are to be used only for instruction, and it has to be posted on our website every year. And if the board has additional inquiry, Claudia can certainly answer those questions.
Thank you, Jerry. I do. I would like to add also the amounts of the EPA revenue the schools is going to receive on current and next year. For current year, if you take a look at the package on page 105, that's going to be page 5 of the Form 62. And on the second line is you're going to be able to see the EPA funding under code 8012, and it's showing the revenue that the school is receiving. On the first column, you are going to see revenue of $135,224. And for the next fiscal year, 2021, the estimated EPA revenue based on the latest LCFF calculator will be $82,327. You're going to see that number on the second column. And all these funds will be spent on instruction.
Okay. Any questions? Can I have a motion and a second?
John, move.
Barbara Willebrand, second. Okay, Barbara Willebrand, second. So John moved and Barbara seconded. And so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Deck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand? So all five ayes, so H has passed. For now on I, the board will be asked to approve the budget for the 2020-21 fiscal year and the COVID-19 operations written report. Janet Wilson again.
For item 5I, number 1, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-5620 on April 22, 2020, which extends the deadline to adopt the Local Control and Accountability Plan, referred to as LCAP, the annual update and budget overview for parents, to December 15th, on the condition that the governing board of the local education agency adopts a written report by July 1st, 2020. This report must be adopted at the same meeting as the school budget. It is then sent to the County Office of Education and our authorizer. We will also post it on the homepage of the school website. For item 5I, number 2, the COVID-19 written operations report utilizes the template provided by the California Department of Education for every LEA in the state. This report describes the programmatic changes that were made in response to COVID-19 emergency and major impacts of school closure on students and families. This report meets the requirements by describing how we are meeting the needs of unduplicated students and steps taken to continue support the delivery of high-quality distance learning, how we provide school meals in non-congregate settings, and arrange for the supervision of students during school hours. I will now turn it over to our finance team. Thank you.
Hi, this is Sara Feli, and I will be presenting the summary for the budget for Vista Norte. The preparation of the Vista Norte budget had some challenges due to COVID-19 pandemic and its financial impact on the state's budget and consequently to the school's funding. The original funding projections for the next fiscal year before the pandemic included a COLA increase of about 2.3% to the LCSF funding, which is the main funding sources for Vista Norte. Now, after the May revision to the budget and after the recommendation from SIGMA, Vista Norte's budget is including a reduction of LCFS funding determined by a negative COLA of 7.5%. In addition to the reduction in funding, Vista Norte is projecting a substantial reduction in ADA for next year, 2021. In order to adjust the reduction in funding rates, the school leadership has reviewed the staffing needs and identified discretionary expenditures that can be reduced, delayed, or based on the school's needs. Discretionary reductions are included in students' field trips and some contracted services. These reductions were identified as discretionary, and we are ensuring that our students continue to receive the necessary educational services and support during this critical time. The school superintendent is already monitoring the school spending and preparing for closer financial oversight. Now we'll review the budget to address some of these matters that are included in your budget reports. Vista Norte is projecting an ADA of 412 for fiscal year 2021. This projection shows a reduction of 264 ADA as compared to the current ADA projection of 676. The ADA projections for 2021 are very conservative, and we anticipate positive trends in our student enrollments for next year. These projections will cause a substantial reduction in revenue and most funding sources for next year. Revenue from LTSS sources is projected to decrease from $8.6 million to $4.8 million due to the reduction in the funding rate and the decrease of 39% in ADA. Overall, the LTSS revenue will decrease by $3.8 million. Federal special ed funding will have a small increase of $9,000. This is because federal funds are determined by prior year ADA, so the reduction of the school's ADA for 2021 will have no impact on federal federal funding, special ed funding. Other state revenues such as state special ed, mandate block funds, and lottery also reflect the impact of the ADA reduction and will decrease by 37% from $519,000 to $329,000. Lastly, at this moment, the school is not projecting or budgeting for any local revenue for the year 2021. Total revenue projected for the 2021 fiscal year will be $5.2 million. A decrease of $3.9 million, or about 43% compared to the current year. The budget reflects a reduction of salary and benefits of about 37% due to the reduction of students projected to be served during next fiscal year. Other budgeted expenditures in purchasings and operations are assuming minimum field trips, no sports, and reductions in the students' transportation costs. All other students-driven expenditures and other operating costs were budgeted based on the historical information, and most contracted services were budgeted based on continuation of all existing contracts. Vista Norte is budgeting for a deficit of revenue of $218,000 for fiscal year 2021, which added to the current year-end projected ending net position of $740,000. The school will end up the year 2021 with a net position of $522,000, which is about 10% of the total budget expenditures. We also want to inform the board, Gita touched bases already on some of the deferrals and projections for cash, but we also want to inform the board that the school is preparing for cash deferrals that, according to FICMA, updates are starting this month of June and will also impact payments of apportionments in April, May, and June of 2021. These deferrals will cause a 90-day delay in payments and will put a significant pressure to the school's cash flow. At some point, the school will be missing 27% of the payments of its annual revenue. The school leaders, with the support of the LLAC team, are monitoring cash on a weekly basis and preparing to delay discretionary purchases or services based on the school's cash conditions. So that concludes our summary for the 2021 budget report.
That's terrible. That's so hard to hear that. Anybody else have a comment or a question? All right. Can I have a motion and a second?
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to approve.
Barbara Wilbur, a second.
Claudette motion and Barbara seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck.
Claudette Beck. Sorry, aye.
That's okay. Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John George. And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So all five ayes. That is some rough stuff, guys. Thank you so much for that, Araceli. That's just rough. All right. The board will be asked, we're on J, to approve in principle the school's application for Title I funds, with final decision-making authority delegated to the area superintendent and corporate officers to submit the federal addendum to receive Title I funds. And Janet, this is you again.
I know the last report was very difficult, and we've been struggling with that, but we're also looking at what we can do to improve. We're going to work on our enrollment. We're dedicated to gaining back 100 students. But also, we are interested in applying for additional funds through Every Student Succeeds Act, commonly known as Title I funds. In 1965, the federal government began providing additional funds for disadvantaged pupils. Schools receive the funds based on the number of students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. The exact amount that the school will receive next year will depend on the amount allotted to the state of California in the next few months. The federal addendum included in your board packet completes the template provided by the California Department of Education and is the first step in our application process. It describes the capacity the school must meet the federal funding requirements that accompanies the funding. We can use the funds to upgrade programs to support students with the greatest need, including intervention programs, small group instruction, English learner support, tutoring, counseling, reading and math programs, technology, and parent engagement. We intend to use the funds to support our educational programs school-wide. Additionally, there will be training for leadership and staff on Title I implementation this summer. For your reference, we have attached the PowerPoint training that Finance received this spring, and it provides an overview for Title I funding. So we are asking that to approve the principal school's application for Title I funds with final decision-making authority delegated to the area superintendent and corporate officers to submit the federal addendum to receive Title I funds for the 2021 fiscal year. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Any questions or comments? Can I get a motion?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Okay.
John Dorsey second.
Okay, Mike motion and John seconded, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So J has been passed with five ayes. We're now on K. The board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 2020-2021 school year. And this is Janet Wilson again.
The consolidated application, or commonly known as CONAP, is used by the California Department of Education, the CDE, to distribute categorical funds from various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and direct-funded charter schools throughout California. Annually, from mid-May to the end of June, each local education agency, or LEA, using the Consolidated Application and Reporting System, which is referred to as CARS, submits the spring release of the CONAP. The spring release documents participation in these programs and provides assurances that the LEA will comply with the legal requirements of each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that created the program. The school may be requesting Title I Part A federal funds. Title I Part A is a federal categorical program contained in the consolidated application. Its purpose is to ensure that all children have fair and equal opportunity to obtain a high-quality education and reach, at a minimum, proficiency on the state content standards and assessments. The intent of this funding is to meet educational needs of low-achieving students enrolled in the highest poverty schools. The winter release of the CONAP is submitted via CARS from mid-January to the end of February each year and contains the LEA entitlements for each funded program.
For each federal program entitlement, LEAs allocate funds for the program as indicated by the program requirements. So we are recommending and asking for you to approve the CONAP process and submission for all reports required for the school for the 2021 school year. Are there any questions?
I have no questions. Anybody else? Just a reminder, somebody has their phone open and there's a lot of static, so make sure. All right, so let's ask for a motion and a second here on K.
Put it back. I'll make a motion.
Okay. And Barbara seconds. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Put it back.
Aye.
Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John Dortch.
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand.
Aye.
So it's five ayes on K, with all members voting aye. So that's passed. We're on L. The board will be asked to authorize the selling of receivables to an experienced and reputable financier of receivables, if needed to maintain adequate cash flow. Jerry Vincent.
Yes, board, thank you. This would be our last option to exercise to maintain adequate cash flow. There are other options further down in the on the agenda that the board will be presented with, but this one is our last option to do so. And I can defer to Claudio to answer any specific questions on this particular matter. If the board has any questions.
I have no questions. Claudio, or do you have anything to add? Okay, so we'll ask.
I'm sorry, I was on mute.
It happens, it happens. It happens to all of us.
And just wanted to add that the average interest rate of this financing mechanism is somewhere between 15 and 18%, which is pretty high. And as Jerry said, this is the last resource, it's the last option, the most expensive one. But it also, we recognize that it's also fast and to access and process. So in case of an immediate cash need, so it's still a valid option if the school has a true cash need.
Wow. Okay, more good news here. anybody else have a comment? Let's have a motion and a second for L.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Claudette motioned. I'll second it. Carol seconded it. Claudette motioned and Carol seconded it. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, so that's five ayes on L. Wow. Okay, M, the board will be asked to obtain a line of credit from Hammy Bank if needed to maintain adequate cash flow. Jerry.
Yes, thank you. So what we are asking for is permission to proceed with the initial application for a line of credit with Hommy. Hommy's interest rates are predicated on prime plus a percentage, and they set minimums. We have seen currently that some of their minimums are 3.75% and some are as high as 5.75%. So we won't know until we get into the process. We are just asking for permission to proceed with the initial application. And again, Claudia was there to expound on this topic if needed.
Claudio, is it needed?
I don't know, really. I don't have anything to add. Jerry explained perfectly.
Okay, so can I have any discussion or a motion and a second, please?
I'll make a motion, Mike Malloy.
And John seconded. Okay, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, so we have five ayes on M. N, This is our last one. The board will be asked to approve obtaining a loan from LLAC during the 2020-21 fiscal year pursuant to a promissory note with interest. And this is Jerry Vincent. It's on page 138, if you want to look at it.
Thank you very much, President Stanford. So with this is the third of the three options that have been presented, with the additional hope that we will certainly increase ABA with a fabulous staff. And so what we are asking is that the board would approve obtaining a line of credit up to $1,500,000 if needed, with a 4% interest, if needed, to maintain adequate cash flow.
Okay. Any questions from anybody? Can I get a motion and a second?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Okay, Mike made a motion and Claudette seconded it. Is that right?
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, thanks. So we'll vote Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
Okay, so Ann has passed with five ayes, and thank you, Jerry, for that. And so we'll go to six, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Jeff Brown, you still with us?
Yes, thank you so much. I believe I'm off mute now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. A few things I would like to say. As you can see, it's going to be a very difficult situation as far as our financing and our growth program looks like. However, as Janet said in her presentation, we have a lot of options for students. We have alternative education programs, a true online program, a true face-to-face programs, which gives us opportunities that most of the other schools at this point don't have. So there are chances that we can reach out to the community and other students who don't want to go back to school because of what's happened, and especially with the problem of amount of students per classroom. So I see that we do have some opportunity. It's a lot of work from our staff, but we have the right staff to do that. And I just want to congratulate them for what they've started now and will continue. And to you as the board members for overseeing this. Thanks all of you.
Mr. Brown, if I could just add, this is Janet, that we didn't just fall apart. We lost 183 ABA due to not having the online summer school as a part of our program projected for next year. So we are, as a staff, we are working diligently to hold our own summer school this summer, and again to double our home study enrollment and to increase the enrollment at both centers. So we're doing everything we can. We expect 100 more ADA, and we expect a strong summer school program, and hope that when it comes time for the next budget session that you will have positive news coming out of Vista Norte.
I have no doubts, Janet. I have no doubts at all, and I want to thank you again for all the effort that you and your staff is putting together. It deserves some applause, so now you have one hand clapping.
Thank you.
Jerry.
Yes, please. I would like to just acknowledge the team and how hard they have worked at the site to hold this program together in light of the challenges of the pandemic. So bravo to all of you. Also, we expect nothing but the evidence of your perseverance and your resiliency and increase in that number of AF students. So we're just so grateful for your diligence. And also, I'd like just to point out that there is a staff behind the scenes that works very hard to get packages. We have finance people, we have people putting the agendas together and ensuring that packets are mailed out and posting on the websites. And all of those people are really the backbone to serve the board. And I just want to take a moment to applaud them for everything that they do to ensure that information is available, and moving forward, getting information out even sooner than they than has happened this session, which was pretty awesome, getting it out there and in advance for the board members to be able to review it and to ask those relevant questions. So just a shout out to the team behind the scenes who are doing all of the heavy lifting as it relates to serving you, the board. And just thank you all so much. And board, thank you, of course, for your service.
So I have just a quick comment. This is a really good agenda. I don't know who put this together, but all the page numbers and everything are on it. It's really helpful. Thank you so much for that. And I'd like to, Raquel, are you still on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Just a shout out to you. You've been through so much in the last couple of years, and now you got this, and you have always been up to every challenge. So you and Janet and your team, kudos to you, because I don't know how you do it, but you always rise above it. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the support. And I know this, you know, this too shall pass. And I've got an amazing team. I truly do. One of the hardest working teachers and staff that you can imagine. And I know we'll get through this. So thank you again for your support.
Oh, that's all right. Okay, if I
could just add really quickly that one of our challenges at Casa Blanca has always been that it's over capacity. It's a small center, and we sometimes have had to freeze the enrollment. And so poor Mr. Herrera couldn't get any bigger, even though the students were there. But now that we're online, we can grow that center, and that's going to help us a lot get out of our financial situation.
Yeah, I think in September or August, you're going to have a rush of public school kids who are not going to go back to public school, and we're probably be at capacity.
We'll be ready with open arms.
All righty. Anyone else want to make a comment? Can I have a motion to adjourn? I move we adjourn. Can I have a second?
I second.
Okay. So we'll vote. Carol Sampson, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.